Moses went to the mountain, and God spoke unto him.
Moses, this is the Lord thy God commanding you to obey my law. Do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you, I hear you. A deaf man could hear you.
What?
Nothing, Gornish, forget it. Oh, Lord, why have you chosen me? What would you have me do for you?
I shall give you my laws, and you shall take them unto the people.
Yes, Lord! Lord, I shall give these laws unto thy people. Hear me! Oh, hear me! All pay heed! The Lord Jehovah, has given unto you these 15... Wait. Ten commandments for all to obey.
So there you go. Was supposed to be 15, and now it's only 10. Thanks be to God. We have a tough enough time with the 10, right? In fact, really, we would have tough enough time with one. You need only turn on the TV news to see our inability to live up to any of the laws, that God's laws are broken day in and day out. And I agree with the Apostle Paul, who wrote the words, "Among sinners I'm chief." Would you pray with me? God of grace and God of mercy, we do thank you and praise you for who you are and for what you've done. You've drawn each of us into this space that we might hear your word. We know that your word will not return void. We trust, O God, that you've planted your word deep in our hearts and souls. God, help us in this day and in this time to be obedient and faithful followers of your word. Your word became flesh. His name is Jesus. God, whether it be because of me or in spite of me, may the good news, the truth of your love, be heard by all. These things we pray and so much more in the mighty name of the one you sent to transform the world with love, and his name is Jesus. Amen. This morning I'll be reading from the book of Exodus, 20th chapter, beginning in verse 1, the Ten Commandments. Find that on page 60 in your pew Bible. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, that is to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you and keep you from sinning." This is the word of God for the people of God. You know, I have a high degree of certainty that all of us here have some level of awareness and understanding of the Ten Commandments. These would be considered by all who seek the Lord to be the 10 big laws, the top 10 moral absolutes given directly to Moses from the Lord God Almighty. 10 rules for moral living which all persons of faith must stand upon. This list of shalls and shall nots that keep us on the straight and narrow, giving us a moral compass for our life's journey, helping us to find our way, doing the things that we know are right and good and just. God begins this Decalogue of the rules of righteousness by reminding us of who God is. I am. Those two words, I am, telling us again and again that God is. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, bringing you to a place of freedom, a place of liberty. After this reminder, God goes on to speak the 10 words of the law. These 10 words provide the children of Israel with a code of conduct that will produce a life of righteousness that will lead them into the promised land. Now, I could go on this morning about the individual commands of how we should have no other gods before God and how we should not be covetous of our neighbor's possessions, of how the Sabbath day is holy and should be set apart, but you know all of that. Don't murder, lie, cheat, or steal. I could tell you about how the first four laws deal with our relationship with God, and how the six that follow deal with our relationship with each other. How the first word deals with God, and the last word deals with our neighbor, a precursor to Jesus' teaching on the law. The most important command is to love God, and a second is like it, that you would love your neighbor as yourself. But you know all of that. And if you didn't, you surely do now. John Wesley, if he were here today, he would tell us that the law has three uses, that the law has three purposes, if you will. He would tell us that the law was put in place to convict us of our sin. He would tell us that the law was put in place to lead us to Christ. He would tell us that the law was put in place to give us guidelines for Christian living. So we here today can see the value of the law. It's all simple enough to understand, straightforward, to the point. And all of it is extremely important. If it weren't so important, why would the Lord God Almighty take the time to personally deliver these laws. The Lord could have just as easily sent an angel or a prophet, but not this time. No, no, no. The Ten Commandments are so important that the Lord God Almighty appears to Moses and writes these 10 words of the law on stone tablets. The law is set in stone. So I ask you today, if we agree on the importance of the law, then what's the problem? What's the holdup? What's holding us back from living in a world where we experience love and joy and peace every minute of every day, every week of every month? I would submit to you today that it's one little three-letter word. Begins with S and ends with N. Sin. Sin has entered the world through disobedience to God. And sin remains in our world through disobedience to God. And if that makes you uncomfortable, well, it should. It makes me uncomfortable. We don't like to have the tough discussions when it comes to matters of morality. But we need to have those discussions. We need to know that it's our sin that separates us from God. You know, we enjoy the conversations about grace and love. We always want to hear about the love of Jesus rather than the certainty of death and destruction that comes from a life of sin. But here's the good news. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Apostle Paul, formerly Saul, a lawyer who knew the law better than you and I will ever know the law, shares the truth of God's grace through all of the letters that he wrote. In Galatians, he reveals to us that the law was given to lead us to Christ. The law was given to reveal our need for a Savior. In Romans, he writes that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He goes on to write that all are justified freely through the gift of grace, and that we are justified, made just, made right with God through faith, and faith alone in Jesus, who loved us and gave himself up for us. Friends, I've come here to tell somebody, the law cannot save you. Nor can we save ourselves. But if I ask somebody today what could wash away my sin, I hope you would tell me nothing but the blood of Jesus. If I asked you today what could make me whole again, I pray that you would tell me nothing but the blood. When we accept the gift of grace revealed to us in the final act of atonement of Christ's death on the cross, it's then and only then that we are acquitted. We are found not guilty. It's then and only then that we are made right with God. It's not by the laws of thou shall and thou shalt not. It's by the love and grace of our merciful Savior who loved us so much that he died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten. Another three-letter word. Begins with S, ends with N. God's own Son. And just as God freed the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage, God has freed us from slavery to sin and death through his one and only Son. Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but that the law might be fulfilled through him. And just as sin entered the world through one man, so righteousness enters the world through Jesus. Fully God, fully man. Jesus, who gave us a new command. Jesus, who told his disciples, love one another. The way that I have loved you, by this people will know that you are my disciples. The Savior, who was willing to give up his very life that we might have life and life everlasting. May it be so. You know, I share with people quite often when it comes to repentance. When it comes to repentance, it begins with me. How can I expect anyone to come to a place of repentance if I have not first repented? It's a daily activity for me. Forgive me, God, for not doing all of the things that you have called me to do in this day, and give me strength that I might do those things tomorrow. You know, repentance is really God's work. God calls us and draws us by the power and presence of His Spirit. And when God comes to us, when God comes to you and I, when we know in our soul and in our heart that we have done wrong, the Spirit of God is nudging us to ask for forgiveness. And I'd like to suggest this morning, as Rick has said, this altar is always open. And if you feel the Spirit of God calling you this morning, this altar rail is open. I would invite you to come and share in the goodness of God. Come and share in the grace of our merciful Savior. This morning I'd like to offer up with you all a prayer of confession. Please feel free to join me as we pray. Lord, we confess that we suffer today because of sin, both the sins we have chosen and the sins committed against us. We have done things that we should not have done. We have neglected to do those things that we should have done. From ourselves, save us from the forces of evil in this world. We do not have the power to undo what has already been done. So grant us grace to bear present burdens and courage to change things that can be changed. Teach us how to live as those prepared to die and dwell eternally with you and your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. I would invite you to take a moment for silent confession. Silent prayer before the one who loves you the most. And if you have a burden that you need to lay down, you lay it down here. God is faithful and just. He'll remove that sin as far as the east is from the west and see it no more. Hear these words of assurance. Jesus has indeed come to save us and show us the way to experience God's love. Jesus will strengthen us to the end so that we may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the good news. You are forgiven. Please pray with me. Almighty and everlasting God, we do thank you and praise you for forgiveness. We thank you and praise you for salvation. Oh God, we thank you and praise you for the grace and mercy that you have shown us. God, I thank you for each person that's gathered in this space. I trust that each heart is secure, that each person knows you in a real way, that each person knows that blessed assurance that Jesus, the Lord of all creation, dwells and rules in each of our hearts. And may we, O God, be a reflection of the light of His pure love in all the places that we walk, until we come into the fullness of His glory, where there'll be light everlasting. We pray it all in the mighty name of Your Son, our Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.